Black consciousness is in essence the realization by the black man of the need to rally together with his brothers around the cause of their operation. The blackness of their skin and to operate as a group in order to rid themselves of the shackles that bind them to perpetual servitude. It seeks to demonstrate the lie that black is an aberration from the normal, which is white. It is a manifestation of a new realization that by seeking to run away from themselves and to emulate the white man, blacks are insulting the intelligence of whoever created them black. Black consciousness, therefore, takes cognizance of the deliberateness of God's plan in creating black people black. It seeks to infuse the black community with a newfound pride in themselves, their efforts, their value systems, their culture, their religion, and their outlook to life. These are the words of Stephen Bantu Biko, extracted from his book, I Write What I Like. And this how we welcome you to another episode of Masterclass Africa here on Channel Africa. I am Sir Max, a knowledge premier, the real number 10. And today we are sending our love and light throughout the motherland, the African continent, you know, everywhere you are, from Cape to Cairo, from Morocco to Madagascar. We are sending our love throughout the continent. And you are interactive on all our social media platforms, on Twitter at Channel Africa One, on Facebook Channel Africa One, YouTube and Instagram, it is Channel Africa Radio. It's a youth month. I mean, here in South Africa and throughout the African continent, the plight of youth as the future of this great continent becomes very important. So we will be having that conversation that speaks about education. We're inviting you to be part of this conversation with us as we go on to shape the narrative, but most importantly, the direction in which this continent is headed. Get with us in this conversation and let us hear what you think. And let's go straight to it. Every week we are totting the globe and the continent to bring you some of Africa's top thinkers. And today on Masterclass Africa, we are joined by a social and environmental activist, the co-founder of Institute of Africology and CEO of Green Ank Works. Menzi Maseko is on the show. Welcome to the show, brother.
Greetings. Sani Bonani.
Amazing. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I see that you are making strides in all the organizations that you are involved in. A big month for Institute of Africology. I saw on the Africa Liberation Day, or what many people call Africa Day. Great work that you have started there. You must be so proud of yourself and happy.
We are happy to serve Africa and the children of Africa. That is our calling. So we will be happy when all are liberated.
And many people, just before we get in this conversation, are saying it should be Africa Liberation Month in May and not really Africa Month. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts?
It is because of exactly for what I'm saying, Uguti, until we cannot talk about celebrations and commemorations until we speak about actual liberation. Let's say it is 80% of Africans should be liberated before we start to say, yeah, we are celebrating something. Mm-hmm. So the work is still going on. So Africa Liberation Month was actually given by our elders, our ancestors, our freedom fighters in the 1940s and 50s, and given a proper name. So things become watered down as the years go by, but we Pan-Africanists in the forefront, we will not let things be watered down. We will keep them as they were meant by our elders so that we can grow, because the foundation is solid.
Amazing work that you are doing. But today I've called you onto the show because June is Youth Month, you know, particularly here in the Republic of South Africa and throughout the world, I mean the African continent in particular. But there's been a big point of contention when coming to issues of youth. It is centered around education. To say, I mean, you look at South Africa, over 64% of young people are unemployed. And it's not only South Africa, but it's throughout the continent where you've got young people who are loitering. And experts like yourself are saying education is at the center of youth development. I want us to talk about the need to streamline alternative or unconventional education for African youth, because you also are one of the people who have argued that this education that African children are getting is not getting them anywhere, and you are calling for alternative or unconventional education. Can you expand on that?
Yes, we need a revolutionary education because we are engaged in a metaphysical, economical, spiritual, mental, psychological war. And this war that we are engaged in, I use the word war because even though it's kind of like a word that is very, I would say, an aggressive word or a very assertive word, and it maybe pushes some people's panic and worry buttons, but we as African people, ever since we've been colonized, and ever since we've been Europeanized also, and ever since we've received the education that comes from outside, which basically opens up our skull and pours its own ideologies, we have drifted. We are not well. We are unwell in many different ways. And we can never be well until we institute, we channel our education according to indigenous knowledge systems. And indigenous knowledge systems is a term that a lot of academics speak about. And they, I would say some of them are doing a lot, are investing a lot of their time and research on it. But it basically means that we have to do isiNtu. I know that we speak very various languages, but just to explain what isiNtu is, education through the mode of isiNtu basically means looking to nature and looking to our ancestral ways, the things that worked, the things that are based on universal laws. It's not really alternative when I'm going to. It's really properly the true education. So we want to remove the false education and re-initiate the true education, which takes care of in the environment, which takes care of the community, which ensures that there is justice both socially, environmentally, and psychologically for all African people. And we always, of course, we speak to African people and black people globally because charity, as they say, begins at home. We cannot have an African child who is educated in Roman Catholic principles still remain an African child. That child is a black face with Roman Catholic principles. You cannot have an African child educated in Protestant, Pentecostal, and Islamic principles and think that child is an African. That child is an Arab, Islam, Christian, Roman child. Until the child begins to be educated according to the ways of his ancestors, which is not a way of just looking back, but it's a way of making sure that person is present in their location, in their context, and that person can also create a work and employment for the future. So that's all we are doing. We are recentering ourselves when we are saying we need an education that centers the African child within himself, not outside, not in Arabia, not in Israel, not in Rome, not in Europe, but within Africa. And we have examples of great African education going back 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 years. We have templates of good education, but in our modern schools, we do not see them. It's not taught because the teachers themselves and the education departments themselves, they are still colonially trained. So we, like people, Institute of Africology and Ebukosini Solutions and Rise Black Child and many others, we are saying, let's return to the center of our education. Also GEK, like an organization like the Great Empire of Kemet with Mkulun Tsingiza. There's many of us. We are basically working daily to reconstitute the mental state and then the spiritual state of the African child. Because, hey, Tinabanda Badala, the eagle has flown somehow. A lot of us, it's very hard to re-educate us and take us away from the things that we know because we think that those things are working, even though we can see that things are falling apart.
To go back to the original education is what you are calling for, but the challenge, and probably that's why we use words like alternative, unconventional, yes, because
yes,
the master controls education as it stands, you know. So the structural... the structural dimension of education becomes important. We've got institutes, Institute of Africology, Ebukosini, yeah, and many others. But putting it into the mainstream, you know, making it to say, yeah, these are the kids, they can be taught on that, becomes a key challenge for African people.
It's a great challenge, because, again, as I said, there's sometimes resistance from our parents to see things in the way of isiNtu, because isiNtu is associated with a lot of superstition, according to them. It's associated with the dark, with darkness, with, or even demonic powers, some people would say. When you talk about, no, I just want to return to Isintu Sami. I want to have Umsamu. I want to have a sacred space in my home dedicated to my connection with my ancestors. I want to have a reconnection with an Afrocentric education. All of a sudden, your parents and others and your peers who are trained as Romans, who are trained as Europeans, who are trained as other, you know, they start to look at choir. In Zulu, we use the word choir when you look at someone suspiciously to say, this person is going either backward or they are returning to uncivilization. Yet, the people who are afraid of this unconventional way of doing things, it's unconventional because, as you said, the master's tools are creating the master's civilization, you know. So our tools, because we are actually the master, we should be turning the tables around. The people who came, the poor Europeans, the thugs that came out of the sea, who were coughed out or vomited out by the sea and came here and took over, they took over through power. So we had power, now they have power, and we are disempowered. So it's a matter of just basically turning things around and making them as they should be, so that we can have what I call natural progression of Africans. Steve Biko mentioned something about our culture. You know, he says that we should start look at our culture not from a point of stagnation or a point that, your culture is here, our culture didn't end there. Our culture was interrupted. So we need to go back to that point of interruption, deal with it so that we can move on, so that we can have a culture that is dynamic, that helps us to create technologies that work for us, both spiritual technology and material technologies, you see. So that's why I like the word unconventional. It's unconventional to the system that is reigning at this moment. Mm-hmm. But it is conventional for us because it is our way.
Yeah. We're in conversation with Menzi Maseko, who's a social and environmental activist. You know, he's a co-founder of Institute of Africology and CEO of Green Ank Words. Now, here comes a big question, Brother Menzi. What should be the role in restructuring education? What should be the role of the family, the community, and the civil movements? And the reason this question is important, you look at a nation like the Jews. The Jewish people have got their own schools. In fact, education starts from home. They do have their own schools. But in Africa, we still lacking from that because we have abdicated or relegated the role of education into
to the teachers and to
the secular system.
So the role of the family is the microcosm of the nation. You can say, you know, on a scale, it's the individual, and then it's the family, and then it's the community, and then it's the rest of the nation, right? So African-centered education, because it is based on initiation and rites of passage and things being done according to nature, as I've already mentioned, natural progression. The family was the first enemy of the colonizer. They made sure that we are separated. The father must go and work in the mines or work in the factories very far away. He must spend as little time with his children as possible and with his wife, right, as possible. So the fragmentation of the African family was the first attack, as I said already, that we are in a war. So when you attack the family and you take the mother and you take her to church and you take the father and you take him to work, you find that the family itself is decentralized. There is no center. There is no the ancestor is becomes a stranger and becomes someone that you should not have any dealings with because the ancestor is dead, even though their DNA is living inside you and you are actually nothing without your ancestor. So that fragmentation of the African family is one of the first points whereby education is actually broken. Because as you said, my king, we take the child and we take them into a system. Like, for example, my children, even though I teach them at home a lot, I teach them a lot of things at home, but because of the kind of work that we work, the kind of system that we are living in, I take my children to a school which is filled 90% African teachers, The teachers are speaking English. They're speaking a second language, which is not their home language. They are Afrikaans women, mostly, and there's no black men and there's no black women who are actually teachers in their school. So I am committing a grave sin to take my children's mind to go to be developed by people who absolutely do not understand who my children are, who do not understand my culture, who don't even speak the language of my children. Do you understand? But when I come home, when the children come home, I try and get my children. I try to destigmatize my children from that school system. So how many of us are there? How many South Africans? 50 million South Africans. 40 million black South Africans are taking their children to a system that is hypnotizing their children to be who they are not. All of us are guilty.
A big challenge. But is it a challenge that we can win? Unity, it will take unity, you know, of the African people, because one of the things we've had, what previously was known as Model C's, interracial schools, which were believed to be of superior quality and value than any other institution. But that thing is still even prevalent even today, where the middle class, in inverted commas, the clever blacks, you know, they always somehow find to take their kids in those institutions.
Yes, my king. To win the battle, again, we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to do a Sankofa. We need to go back and fetch it. What are we fetching? We are fetching ourselves. Like my sister Msaki sings, fetch your life, be alive. You know, no one is living until you are living. So that I'm quoting Msaki's chorus in full, because the thing of fetching your life is what us African people need to do. There is nothing superior about a Model C school, because it's a school system globally, whether it's in local in Africa or elsewhere. It's a system that basically pushes out laborers. It pushes out people who cannot create employment for themselves. It pushes out people. It produces individuals that are individualistic and they do not have a social consciousness. They don't have a black consciousness. They don't have a pan-African consciousness. The children that are produced there, a lot of them are depressed when they can't find employment because they don't have anything else but employment to look forward to, because employment gives them the privileges of going in to live in these estates that we live in, these gated communities, these prisons that are called beautiful homes, where you are actually beholden to the banks and you are basically owing. The middle class, as my friend Andile Mkudama, my leader, once said, the middle class is nothing but a bunch of pseudo-whites, people who are aspiring to be whites. But you are aspiring to be unhappy and you are aspiring to be not yourself, because your car is owned by the bank, your house is owned by the bank, and you are owned by the job, you know, until your retirement, where now you are also... But now you are owned by the government. To get back to the, to ourselves, we need to return to ourselves, you know, so that we escape the prison. And to escape the prison, you have to make up your mind. You have to free your mind first, as Gavi said. Free your mind from mental slavery, because none but ourselves can free our mind. We cannot depend on the system to free you. You cannot depend on the school or the job or the government. You can only depend on yourself. And the self that is needed is a liberated self. So before you free, you unite as a whole nation or as a black people, we need to first center ourselves as individuals, knowing that we need to have a communal consciousness, not just an individual consciousness. But the individual himself has to be empowered. And to empower yourself, you have to know yourself.
Self-knowledge is the highest form of knowledge. You can be in touch with us if you are listening to this conversation. Do you have a question, a comment, or an experience that you want to share with us? We talk about the need to streamline alternative or unconventional education for an African youth in this Youth Month. So what are your views if you are listening to this conversation? We are on Twitter at Channel Africa One. On Facebook, it is Channel Africa One. YouTube and Instagram, it is Channel Africa Radio. And I'm joined by Menzi Maseko today to dissect this important conversation. The role of family, my king, it's it becomes more and more important if education should be at the center of youth development. I mean, the values, the structures of the family should now come into play.
The African family We have to think of ourselves as the African family. You see, as the African family, we are power. You already mentioned that unity is strength. You see, the African family is global. We are actually the majority in the world. The melanated people are the majority in the entire universe, right? So we are the people of God. We do not need messiahs or saviors to become people of God. We are naturally the people of the Creator. The Creator made us in his and her image, right? So the values that come from our family, a family that knows itself and knows exactly where we come from, it are the kind of values, like, you know, in ancient times, they used to call them the Ma'at values, or the 42 virtues of Ma'at. From those 42 virtues came the so-called 10 commandments of Moses, who himself was educated in Africa for 40 years before he rebelled and killed a brother and escaped, you know. So these stories should give us clues to say, who is the father really? And who is the mother really? The mother and father of all civilizations is Africa. The mother and father of every family is the African. You know, everybody knows from science that the entire world came from the African. So how come now the African is the one begging the rest of his children, his and her children, for the tools and resources to better ourselves? It's preposterous. It's ridiculous. You know, so we need to return to ourselves. There's nothing else. So let me just add this part. Education, in that part of education, we have had elders who have done so much great work to prepare us for the moment that we are living in now, to prepare us for a proper education. People like Amos Wilson, Dr. Amos Wilson, Ezekiel Mphahlele, people like Nguki Wationgo, Mama Marimba Ani, Francis Cresswell. There are so many to mention. John Dube, John Langalibalele Dube. Even though some of our elders, Mzwakhe Lembede, you know, Oseme, and all these elders, the problem with us nowadays, especially in South Africa, we look at all these figures as political figures belonging to a particular party. No, they were not just about a party. They were about the reawakening of the African genius. All of them. It's just that they needed to be organized within a particular political system so that they can fight a political war. Now, beyond the political war, we need to start investigating these teachers and these people like John Dube, Langalibalele, and many, 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 many others, Dr. Amos Wilson. We need to start looking at them as stepping stones. We need to start looking at them as lights in the darkness that we are walking in, so that we can actually put them into a curriculum, so that a child can learn about his great-grandmothers who were teachers and who were not just teachers in a school, you know. Maybe like we can learn about the Kenyan lady, Matai, Wangari Matai, who was an environmentalist, who planted trees. There are many, many Africans like that. Figile Nchingila, here in Mpumalanga, you know, and Lebombo. People who we need to put in the center of the curriculum so that they don't seem like, so that they're not far to reach. So we need to invest. We need to make sure that we rebel from a system that is not serving us so that we can center, remove the system that's not working for us from the center and put in the center, in the middle of the conversation, the system that will work for us as Abantu.
The system that will work for us as Abantu. We're going for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, I will be reading to you, my king, and I will ask you to comment on this. A tweet by one of the friends of the show. I mean, she loves this show so much, and she knows that we are talking about this, and then she has sent her comment and a contribution onto the show. You are listening to Masterclass Africa here on Channel Africa. It's DSTV 802, or on Twitter, it is at Channel Africa 1. We're going for a quick break. On the other side of the break, we're coming back with more. Stay with us. So social and environmental activist, co-founder of Institute of Africology and CEO of Green Ank Works. We're talking on this Youth Month about education, the future of education, where education should go. And before we went on a break, I promised you to read for you a tweet, which is very thought-provoking and provocative. And I wonder, maybe you will tell me what you think. Is this tweet a reflection of where we are as black people, particularly the pan-Africanist, you know? Mm. And her name is Lankosi, and on Twitter it is @LankosiWrites. She says, for you to parade yourself as people, you have... for you to parade yourself as people who have transformed the system thinking you conditioned us enough to blind us from the truth is a nightmare on its own. I'm going to say that again. Yeah. For you to parade yourself as people who have transformed the system thinking you conditioned us enough to blind us from the truth is a nightmare on its own. When we speak of transformation in the country's education system, we aren't only referring to that expensive infrastructure, which is a struggle to maintain. Decolonize the content you continue to shove down our throats.
Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. There are so many things to take from there, from that. But I want to take the part about the nightmare that the sister Ulankosi is referring to. You know, when she says the system's thinking that has been shoved upon us is causing a nightmare. It somehow, I immediately thought about the word, the African dream, you know, the song, My African Dream.
Yeah.
You know, these songs are beautiful, you know, but somehow, some way, no disrespect to the artists, but what happens is some of the things that we say and we sing about are actually sugarcoating the real problem. It's like the speech by our former president, I'm an African. It's a brilliant, beautiful, moving speech. It gives you African pride, but it actually glosses over the work that should be done. It's not a bad thing to do. It's not a bad thing to do to celebrate Africa. But the real work that should be done is to actually stop the nightmare. The dream is one thing. You know, to dream of a good Africa, a new Africa, based on the old Africa is one thing. But the work that needs to be done requires one to change one's mind, change one's diet, change one's habits, change one's daily ritual, so that your daily ritual, you must know that your daily ritual is interlinked with your neighbors, even if your neighbor is not aware of it. You must know that everything that you do as an African is interlinked with what is happening in Namibia, what is happening in Cote d'Ivoire, what is happening in Cameroon, in Yaounde, and what is happening in Brazil, in Bahia, where there's more Africans than anybody else. You know, so the point I'm explaining is this. We have to decolonize ourselves. You know, people talk about decolonizing the mind, decolonize the school, decolonize this and that. You might as well bomb everything. But at the end of the day, what will be left is yourself.
Yeah.
So if you yourself are not decolonized, you will find yourself living this nightmare called Western civilization. Western civilization itself, I was just recently in Europe, you know, I was in the UK for a conference. It was a wonderful conference in a city called Bath. But the most beautiful thing that I found there was not their speedy trains and their civilizations and their beautiful shops and their efficient transport and all that. That's not the most beautiful thing that I saw. The most beautiful thing that I saw there was an old house that was occupied by ancient king of kings by the name of Haile Selassie that is in Bath, in a place in a city called Bath. That place has been turned into an old folks' home. In this old folks' home, they are practicing African culture. They are practicing Tai Chi. They are practicing some drumming, some African weaving. They are practicing a whole lot of things. And this house, Haile Selassie lived there from 1936 to 1941. And that house, during the war, during the invasion of Ethiopia by the fascist Italians. So he lived there, and he bought the house from the British. And now it is a place for culture, for education, but for old people. See, now we are talking about education for the youth.
Yeah.
But His Majesty dedicated that place for the elders because the whole African community matters. And in there, you find Africans from Sudan, from Ethiopia, from South Africa, from Jamaica, from everywhere. They are all there participating in something that is good for their spirit. You see, that's the most beautiful thing that I found there in Western civilization. So nothing else. So whatever is there in Western civilization that is beautiful, it actually comes from us. Whether it's their computers, whether it's their, whatever is beautiful comes actually from us. You can, I can have proof of that beyond that little house that I saw in Bath. The chemicals, the resources that makes them rich. Recently, they were celebrating the Queen's birthday. The big diamond that is on her crown, where does it come from? Kimberley.
Yeah.
You see. And all the other jewels, they come from where? Africa, other parts of Africa. So imperialism only survives when we allow it to survive. But goodness and our prosperity will only happen, our dream come true, will only happen when we come back to ourselves.
Yeah. An African dream, you refer to that. I mean, we have long heard of an African. In fact, I don't think we have an African dream, to be honest.
It's you a know, nightmare.
Yeah, because these are, like you refer to the song. You, I mean, like for instance, the Americans had an American dream and they knew what it meant. And it was incorporated into the curriculum, you know, into the church system, into everything. The China, the Vision 1000, you know, how to transform China into the next 1000 years, what it can be. But we do not have that. And the tone of people like Queen Langosi, the Pan-Africanists are getting tired. Like, they are getting frustrated. They are saying, we've been talking about this, but nothing is happening. Is this a reflection of where Pan-Africanists are, where Africans are, to say, we are getting tired? Like, we can't have this conversation. Let it happen.
We need to organize more than to agonize, my brother. You know, agonizing and complaining is not going to help us. As I said already, there are organizations like Institute of Africology, which is doing great work already, and there's Ebu Kosini Solutions, there is GEK. We must participate in these things. Whatever is not working in them, what we find that we might not like within this organization, you cannot change it from outside. If there is something that we are doing that we are not doing right, come and help us. If you are a technology person, if you are a person that creates apps or creates cartoons or creates some kind of modern tools and resources to make to take us forward, volunteer Ebukosini, volunteer kwa Africology, volunteer kwa GEK, and do the work, because agonizing will not help us. Organizing will help us. For example, let me give you a quick example of what Africology is doing right now. Africology is doing a camp on the, I think it's on the 20th to the 22nd. It's doing a camp for matriculants to help them, to mentor them with regards to their mental well-being and their spiritual well-being. Because we know that there's a high rate of suicide amongst teenagers these days. And a lot of it is caused by the stress that they get from school, not performing well at school, the poverty at home and all those things. So it is heavy on the mental well-being of the black child. So in Africology, it's doing a camp to mentor the black child, to empower the black child from ages, I think from ages 10, 11, those age groups, from 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, you know, till high school. So that thing is happening. And there's also a, what we call in Wentworth, we're doing a social cohesion workshops amongst the communities in Wentworth, because there is no cohesion between the black people, you know, the so-called colored people are black people, but they are struggling with what kind of culture am I in? Am I accepted in Africa? Am I accepted? But Africa is their home. So we are doing, as Africology, an immersion program, a teaching program for colored children who are struggling with drugs, who are struggling with alcoholism, struggling with violence, because their center, their core is moved. They do not know who they are. You see, so we are dealing with African children, we are dealing with colored children, and we also deal with the so-called Indians, the indentured Indians that moved to Africa.
Yeah.
Because we can only do these things together. The enemy of the people tries to divide and rule us. The best that we can do is organize ourselves together. Not organize for marches or organize to complain on Facebook, but organize so that we can do education and industrial and psychological development together. And also the Institute of Africology has just been, since 17th of May, we signed a contract with the IKS department in the UKZN, University of KwaZulu-Natal. So we'll be doing Indigenous Knowledge Systems outreach programs for the next 5 years. So working with that's organization. We're working with the UKZN University to push a Pan-African education everywhere, in the academy and also in the community. And Bukhosini is doing its own thing. It's doing a program for young people. I think there's an advert out for a winter school. The Ebukhosini winter school is starting, I think, as soon as these schools close, I think 26th of June or something like that. So there's a winter school for younger children being done by the institute, by Ebukhosini Solutions. Support those programs. Parents must enroll to those programs so that their children get back to who they are. Because in their schools, our children are being removed from who they are. They are getting Santa Claus and other things that have nothing to do with them.
It's always a great pleasure sharing from your cup of wisdom, my king. We appreciate you so much. And just on a parting shot, as we wrap up the conversation, I mean, I was laughing looking at on a tweet. You know, somebody says it's still appalling to understand that Jamaica is not in Africa. You know, that's what the link of Rastafari and Jamaica has had to African. Absolutely. It has always been part of us, you know. Yes, so just on a lighter note, I know that you are so passionate about that.
Yes, we Jamaicans are us, and so are people from St. Croix, Panama, Dominican, Venezuela. You know, these are our people, Panama and all these places. Africans have been taken to all these things. Dominican, I was looking at some Rastafarian group from Panama, I think. The Prince Cyril Selassie had visited them recently. You know, Rastas are everywhere. Suriname, many islands, you know, Pacific Islands. Rastafari is global, you know. So we're very passionate about those things. Rasta is one of those shining lights in the 20th and 21st century, taking black people. I always say Rastafari is the gate leading black people back to themselves.
Yeah, you know? True.
You don't have to stop at the gate. You must go through the gate so that you can find yourself. Rasta is not about following a person. It's about following the king who leads you back to yourself.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you very much for always coming to the show. How do people get in touch with you?
People can follow me they can go to the Africology, Institute of Africology on Facebook. They can catch me on my blog. I write a lot on my blog, which is called greenankworks.wordpress.com.
Greenankworks,
greenankworks.wordpress.com. So greenankworks.wordpress.com, and they will get all the information there. And on Facebook, I'm just Menzi Kakudu Maseko.
Thank you very much, my king. We appreciate you so much, and we wish you a blessed one.
Peace and love.
Menzi Maseko, ladies and gentlemen, a social and environmental activist, co-founder of Institute of Africology and CEO of Green Ank Works. We're in conversation about taking education to the future. What other ways of education we can look into? Thank you to him. And you can go to our website if you want to listen to this conversation again, www.channelafrica.co.za. Go to menu, then programs. There you shall be met with a plethora of podcasts that you can share with friends or listen to them over and over and over again. A big thank you to all my technical producers in Johannesburg and in Mahikeng. I am Sir Max Amako.